I've hunted my butt now, and I couldn't find it. I haven't used it for a year on this style and missed out on it. But I tell you, it's beautiful, the beautiful congregational singing. Just thrilled and lifted my soul. And Brother Stack there, Luke, to sit with me, and he said, "Now these boys can sure sing." And you listen as they hit it, and thank the Lord they could. And Joanne ain't got no mic, and I'm going to cut this thing off. Well, she's trying to, she wants me to do all of it tonight, don't you hear? And make it look bad on me, because you can hear all my mess and you won't hear her. But the good Lord, ever since he healed her voice, shot it sky high, she don't really need a mic. And that's a miracle of God when he does things like that, because she was in a wreck, killed her preacher husband and her mother, and she was to be left in a body brace the rest of her life, and her son crippled up in the same. But God stepped in, healed and delivered her, and it affected her voice and the wreck. And then one night we sang, and God healed it, shot it sky high, passed me up, and just left me in bad shape there trying to keep up with her. But we're going to sing you one song tonight. With that beautiful singing we've listened to, we got to just feed and rear back. And the choir, Donnie, was just like always. And Walter, you're always prime. I tell you, you're prime, because I love you. And we spent most of our ministry together over the years. And to see you keeping on, keeping on, I tell you, it's beautiful to be here. We prayed for weeks in the midst of other revivals, and they're night after night, as you know. But we prayed especially for this hour that was coming, to get here. God give us special anointing to sing and to preach, that we can just lift our brother's heart up and the family, and lift you up, because so many things changed everywhere we went, and many have beat us on to the city. And we came with that prayer. I'm expecting it to be exactly that way. And I tell you, already is evidence, isn't it, with the sweet gentleness of the Spirit, that God's going to do it. As you can tell, I preached it away here. This is my 36th year of Friday, and this is, I don't know how many nights in a row, the third week in a row. So it's about gone, but it don't matter. The song we're going to sing, a friend of ours wrote, and down there in North Carolina, gave it to us 6 weeks ago, I guess. He's just a plain old down-to-earth fella. God saved and called to preach, and this one came right from the Lord. You can identify with it if we can get it. If not, you can. The words, it said, "He moves me." And Walter said, "The Spirit, to let him have the way in that open tank will mean the revival. And if you let him, he'll move you, and we'll have revival." You pray for him. I don't claim to know very much, but I know when I feel God's touch and he moves me, his Spirit moves me. I went down to the altar one night, and I prayed till everything was all right, and he moved me, his Spirit moved me. I had never shouted before, but that night I ran the floor, and he moved me, his Spirit moved me. I said, "Praise God, amen," and I knew I was saved from sin, for he moved me, his Spirit moved me. Now I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real. Something that burns down inside. Something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his Spirit comes on and he moves me. His Spirit moves me. Now I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real, something that burns down inside, something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his spirit comes on and he moves me. His spirit moves me. Elijah was on the mountaintop. He started running and could not stop. God moved him. His spirit moved him. This man raced down the hill, left all the horses standing still, for God moved him. His spirit moved him. David danced with all his might. His wife said, but God moved him. His spirit moved him. David said, I'll be more vile, knowing all the while it was the spirit that had moved him. And I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real, something that burns down inside, something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his spirit comes on and he moves me. His spirit moves me. And I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real, something that burns down inside, something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his spirit comes on and he moves me. His spirit moves me. They all shouted and spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost had come. God moved them. His spirit moved them. Peter stood up the third hour, said, this is the Holy Ghost and fire that moves us. His spirit moves us. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I shout, sometimes I jump and dance about. When he moves me, his spirit moves me. You may think this faith is real, but I know just what I feel. When he moves me, his spirit moves me. Now I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real, something that burns down inside, something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his spirit comes on and he moves me. His spirit moves me. Now I don't want something I can't feel. I want something I know is real, something that burns down inside, something I just cannot hide. It's like fire in my bones when his spirit comes on and he moves me. His spirit moves me. Amen. Thank you, Joey. I tell you, praise the Lord. And I want you to know, he was about to move me. I want you to know. And every time I sing it, he about moves in me. These fellas had me done primed up and my nerves all ruined already in this good choir and being here and seeing you and getting to shake your hand and hug you and rejoice in a year of being back and with Walter and the family. Thank God for the sweetness of his spirit. And that's what I'm looking. That's what I pray. God, move us, lift Walter, lift the church, lift the family, lift me too, Lord, and each of us. He's doing it. I feel His sweet spirit moving, and I know it's real. I know what it is, and you do too. That's what's beautiful, so we'll get with it. What a joy for what He's going to do and is doing, and I praise Him for it all. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, if you will, please, chapter 53, and in verse 7. I'm preaching to you tonight by the help of God on the silence of the Lamb. The silence of the Lamb. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Notice what I emphasize. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He openeth not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. And in the liberty of the spirit that I feel in this beautiful singing and what's went already and what I feel in my heart, Donnie, I feel that liberty. Walter, to just go ahead. I said I'm preaching to you tonight by the help of God on the silence of the Lamb. It was sometime last year in the early part of the year before it, I came in from a revival close enough to be able to drive and to be at home. Sat down and talked a few minutes with Mary Ann. We had prayer and she went on to bed. And I turned the TV on. It was the latter part and moments of a movie that was on. And the title of that movie, I came to understand, was The Silence of the Lamb. From the last little bit was there, I got the summary that it was about a serial killer who had become a cannibal. But the key of it to me was the fact that I took the title from it, and the title, that's where it came from, and I shortened it down to The Silence of the Lamb. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. For you see, that's what Jesus was exactly. When He came, His nature was in that gentleness and silence, not even a bruised reed would He break or a smoking flax. Would He quench when He was reviled? He reviled not again. Isaiah lifted the telescope. He looked down that 700 years and He saw Him there as that gentle lamb led to the slaughter, as that sheep dumb before its shearer. He didn't even open His mouth. He bore it in silence. That sufferer did, and He bore it for you and me. And thank God, because of that, He silenced everything that had come into Eden and befell you and me, and tonight He's handled it all for every one of us. And may God encourage us by that fact. You see, from Genesis all the way to the appearing of the Lord, when that 400-year silence finally ended, God had projected two things and had put them out there to put a picture and of one coming who would be the Messiah and what His office work would be when He come. And in those two beautiful portraits, the summit to get ready a kindergarten teacher out of a people called Israel and acquaint them to recognize Him when He did come, God projected, first of all, a picture, if you please, of a shepherd. And the second portrait that He pictured through the entire Old Testament as a training guide was that of a lamb, or as a sacrifice that was going to be coming. And you remember well, if you please, Peter, when he spoke regarding the shepherd who would be in control as high priest as well as sacrifice, he spoke of that great high priest, the bishop of our soul, and he spoke of him. Every one of us know him as that door to the sheepfold. That shepherd, we know him as that beautiful one out on the mountain, leaving the 99 faithfully in the fold until he found that sheep lost. And he brought it back. Truly, he's that great shepherd. In fact, David made it personal. He said, He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's the projection God gave, getting us ready through Israel to be a part of their history as a schoolmaster of a Messiah coming and his office work that we know him when he got there. And in regard to the Lamb, God projected it all the way from Eden. He didn't officially lay it on Israel until they were formed, more to become that nation, but he was always projecting it in time. If you place the word a substance, that would come. He projected it with Adam and Eve in that garden when he took an innocent animal, the substitute, and he covered their sin. He was projecting that fact that there would have to be a lamb, and not only that, outside in the offering of Abel when he did the right thing and the rebuke to Cain reminded him that there's a type that had to be fulfilled. And when he honored Abel, he's projecting that thought. When Noah walked off of that ark taking those animals he had been given a guardship over and offered to God that sacrifice of the lamb, an offering pure to God, God is projecting again that photograph of a substitute and a lamb. And when